Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we're here to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race, All Stars, All Winners, episode 10. We are so close to the finale. We have one more episode that the queens can win stars, and then we're done. It is just blowing by, and we're having such a great time covering it all. And of course, I am not alone. I'm with the fabulous panel joining me here today. First, let me introduce Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I am fantastic. Still enjoying this long, long, well, not like what you just talked about, how it doesn't really feel long. 10 weeks. Yeah. 10 weeks of wonderful Drag Race and just getting a chance to see all of these winners once more and show their stuff. I'm having a great time as per usual. Excited to be back.
Yes. And to round out the panel, we have Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
Doing great. There's no need to roast this season.
No, but I there.
For those that don't know, it was a roast challenge this week.
Yeah, get it.
No, but really, we were just saying before we recorded, like, man, if every season were like this season, I'd be so like, yes, let's continue to just cover Drag Race all year round. So it feels like that sometimes that we are covering it all year round, even though we normally have a few months off in the fall. Mm-hmm. But this is, you know, this is going to be a sad season to watch come to an end, but I'm excited to see how it ends.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, Drag Race doesn't stop here. We got the promo for what's the name? I'm going to mess it up.
RuPaul's Drag Race. No, RuPaul's Draggity Drag Race of the Drags of All Races and Drag. RuPaul's
Secret.
Second edition of the Secret Drag of the Draggity Drag with celebrities tossed in with other Drag Race artists. Draggity Drag.
Secret. That's good. Secret. Yeah. I believe the abbreviated name.
Oh, sorry.
Abbreviated name is RuPaul's Secret Celebrity Drag Race. So we had season one, which wasn't really a secret because it was just like, here's three celebrities and then they get made over by queens. This new format is like the Masked Singer meets Drag Race. I genuinely have no idea what to expect, but I guess that's going to start when this ends, essentially. And yeah. I think it's going to be on VH1, which is totally wild. So, look, we didn't talk about covering it. I don't think we have any plans to cover it, but like, I guess
if it turns out to be lit, I say maybe we pop in.
Yeah, we like do an episode or two. I'll bring Bui on from the Masked Singer world. We'll see what we can do. But anyway, so if you are sad the Drag Race is almost over, don't worry. There's more, as Amon alluded to, coming down the pipeline. And Canada also started as well. So, you know, don't worry.
I really do wonder what the format of that is going to be, because it did give me, I haven't even really watched Masked Singer, and that's the only vibe that I ever got. So I'm like, logistically, legally speaking, how was this allowed? Like, who did RuPaul sleep with to allow them to sort of adopt the whole Masked Singer sort of format, if that's what it's going for? I mean, I can't see it any other way, because they literally held, like, they hid all of their faces the entire way through, so...
It's definitely giving me Masked Singer vibes. Different companies, like Fox owns Masked Singer, and also the new show Claim to Fame. I know Rob and Jenny are covering it. That also gives me Masked Singer vibes. So I don't know what's going on, because the Masked Singer is like super boring now. Sorry. Someone who covers
what is it with
it,
all
like,
these like secret reality shows? I feel like I'm like on a dating app where no one ever shows their face. I just get like torsos and bodies. It's like...
like pixelated images.
RuPaul's Grinder Race.
Yeah. Right? Like, damn.
Oh, that's, there we go. That's a spinoff. Because they're also.
That's the Pit Crew selection.
Yes, there we go.
Show.
There we go.
Hosted
okay,
by Cameron Michaels.
Of course, trade of the season. Well, there's also, I don't know if you guys have watched it yet. I haven't. It's on my list of things to watch. Vanjie's show, 24 Hours of Love, which apparently is like totally amazing.
In really?
Cringy, like a cringe way, you know, I Love New York kind of style.
Flavor of Love
sort of style.
Rock of Love.
Is it one person get eliminated like every hour or something like that?
Yeah, something absolutely wild. So I'm very excited to watch
this. Oh my God.
Well. So
anyway, I could just hear Vanjie being like, all right, your time's up. Get out. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
get off my beach, bitch.
Yeah. So there's plenty out there. But anyway, so just in case anybody is behind on the other drag content, drag race content specifically that's going on out there, that there's your dump for today. But let's get into this episode. So it was the roast. slash reading challenge, sort of, because we didn't get a formal reading challenge, I don't think, this season. So we're we did at the beginning, the first episode. Oh my God. That was so long ago. I can't be bothered.
That's the thing about the All-Star seasons, that they start off the seasons, like the first thing they do after they walk into is they've been doing those, which I think
they
is
know
great.
Each other, right?
Yeah. It's because they know each other. They get a short list of who's going to potentially be on. Mm-hmm. I feel like something with all winners, like it even shortens up the list even further. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, all right. This week, the Platinum Plunger has been retired. Trinity and Jinx take the win, with Jinx ultimately taking the win, but it doesn't matter because the Platinum Plunger has been retired and we've got 1 week to earn a star. So, Beth, what did you think overall of this episode?
I thought it was a lot of fun. This is, in my opinion, probably the best roast episode we've ever had in terms of how everybody did. Even someone like Jada, and I know we'll talk to her about her, who clearly stumbled a lot, was still able to be entertaining in a way that in the past, when you've watched people like Pheromone or other people like who have really stumbled, and or Alyssa Edwards, that you just kind of sit back and go like, oh, it hurts, the embarrassment.
Roast the cooking.
I would have died if Jada had had a moment where she would like just made a reference to the fact that she was like the pheromone, and then just had gone, that I would have been like, give her the win, give her the win. If that had been like planned and intentional, give her the win. That would have been great. But no, I just generally think that, you know, you're dealing with such a good cast. They're great every week, and I just was entertained by every single person. I really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah. Alana, what about you?
I mean, I love a good roast. I feel like most people do. I mean, I tend to brand myself as someone that is on the kinder side of things. So I think a little piece of me gets a little thrill watching people just get stab and then twist the knife, but with love. It's like as you stab them while you're, you know, like caressing their cheek, like, love you, bitch. Like, anybody that can give us like some raw biting comedy like that is always an A plus in my book. I think it's such an intense skill to have. It's really like in a similar realm as an improv, but obviously you get to sit down and like think about these things. But because of the fact that we've had so many roast challenges on Drag Race, and we've heard so many of the same jokes sort of recycled about a lot of these queens, I think it really pushes them to, you know, you got to be creative. You got to come up with something that's going to sound good and fresh and new. Like, we have heard Raja get called old since episode one. Like, so all of those jokes had to come with like a certain unique take on it. So I was really interested to see how this would work out. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I can agree with Beth about it being the best one ever. I feel like I can never like really definitively say if these are like the best runways or the best challenges, because I can never really remember all the other ones, but it definitely was good. It was a good one.
I think sometimes these things also, you just like, you need a little bit of time to kind of like sit in them a bit. But in terms of the lack of cringe, there was definitely less.
No, that's true. That is very
although true. That's what I remember from roasts, so I don't know. Like, I don't remember the good jokes. I remember that we remember the pheromones. We remember the Laganjas. You know,
when people fail.
Right. So, anyway, but yes, I feel like overall this is a really strong episode. I think in the same way that last week also featured the queens a lot, because it was just a lot of the backstage, a lot of them interacting with one another. Yes, they have the run through where they go over their material, but even that was quite short. Yeah. It just truly felt like it was all about the queens. And I thought the runway this week also was so cool. Like, so cool.
This is the runway I'm going to remember. Like, I'm going to remember people's outfits. Yeah. I just felt like, generally speaking, we've had two really strong episodes, to your point, that are centered around the queens, but just also are like it within the wheelhouse of what the queens have to offer. They're not trying to be fit into certain boxes. They're able to kind of just showcase who they are. They're just good episodes. Sometimes you just got to rely on the talent and the cast that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I think in honor of the Platinum Plunger, let's close out its saga with Raja being the last queen blocked and the last queen to find out, psych, there's no secret. No one is sitting on a secret here. Shay made it all up.
Yeah.
Yes. It was very funny to see her come back in and comment on the rest of her sister's charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was lovely. I love a good prolonged, protracted joke. And you're the last one to know.
Uh-huh. I also love that she comes in and immediately goes in the opposite part of the room from them. Doesn't even like look at them, and they're like, nah! And like yelling and such. It was so good.
He's like, bitch, you mad?
No, that was really good. And I think this was the right move, retire the plunger. It does make me wonder what the twist is going to be for next week. It can't just be like a star for next week, right? Like, it's got to be so. Oh,
okay.
Do you have tea?
No, but yeah. A little bit. Evie Oddly did an interview where I can't remember, I think it was at EW, where she talks a little bit about, she like emphasizes the Mario Party of it all. So like
some stars.
I don't know. That's what I'm all about, the stealing stars. That's what I feel. Again, she didn't confirm, you know, anything. Right. But she did say it is a little bit like Mario Party, which does make me feel like there's going to be some shenaniganizing going in to this last round. I don't know if it's stealing a star, stealing multiple stars, which would be like terrifying. I don't know, because I don't know if there's anybody we can discount. But at the end, I think we should have a discussion about who we would want to see in the finale, and then maybe who we think we're going to see, because I think that that could be a lot of fun.
Definitely.
All right, but let's get into this episode and talk about the, of course, the Kennedy Davenport Center Honors Hall of Shade. We got the full name, and all of the queens are going to be inducted. I also like how they had the little like neck things. I don't know if those have a name, but that was so funny. And essentially this week they take turns roasting each other to a crisp, and we got Kennedy Davenport to give a little breaking news announcement, which I thought was funny that they were, I'm happy that they ultimately included her, even though Wintergreen was back to host, which I thought was absolutely wild.
It was amazing.
Wintergreen we first saw in season 9, who was made over by Peppermint.
Who won the roast challenge on her season. So it just runs in the family.
Exactly. It's a family talent.
Never thought I'd see the day like Wintergreen confirmed for All-Star 7. Yes.
For the all-winter season.
I know,
her,
right?
Her, Ornisha, and Lil Pound Cake just had a free pass.
I know. Yeah, it was really nice to see her. I expected it to be Kennedy Davenport, but if it was going to be anybody, sure, give it to Wintergreen, who I completely forgotten about until now. Like, it was a welcome surprise. Mm-hmm. And she just lit up the room. Like, everyone was just enthralled to see her. It really felt like it just was like, oh my God, the second coming.
Sarge could make some serious bucks if he went out to the bars and drag. I'm just saying, like, tell me that if all of a sudden Wintergreen was at like Mickey's in West Hollywood, like WeHo at a bar, or like, you know what
Roscoe's.
I mean? Like,
Roscoe's
in Chicago. Wintergreen goes to Roscoe's would be amazing. I would literally book a flight to Chicago. That's incredible. Just putting it out there. Promoters, get on that.
Well, you know, they did branding last week. You know, well, like, obviously Sarge is learning a thing or two, because you get to see all these queens behind the scenes. Just saying.
It was such a glow up. I mean, we know more honestly than not that he probably had nothing to do with the way that he looked tonight, but still, like, it was.
You know, it was clearly Raven did it versus Love Peppermint, but Pep is not a makeup artist. And
but
so
a piece of me was still like, oh my God, look at you glowing up, as if you had anything to do with the way they came out. I was like, yes!
You did that, yeah!
You gotta work on those, on that contour.
I know.
Well, what did you guys think about the performing order being in the hands of the gods and not being chosen from the winner of last week?
First of all, Monet was getting ready to be able to say, like, who was going to have what. They even cut to a camera to her, and she's going, like, I know it's me. And then he's like, and you're all going to hump the asses of these guys on the pit crew in order to figure out which. You could tell she was like, it was like two different emotions at the same time.
I don't know. I'm not sure why they made the decision to do it. I mean, I happily welcome getting to watch people hump on camera, but I'm not sure, maybe just to sort of give us a bit of an equalizer, but that never really has been the name of the game so far. So it was an interesting choice.
Well, they already did one where they had to do the order, and that was for the graduation speeches. So it kind of is like feels repetitive. I actually like the fact that it's not at this point like a political thing, because they're not going to use the plunger. So who really cares if you're going to, I mean, they didn't know at that point that the plunger was going to be moot and point for the rest of the competition. But if you're don't have a say in it, like at that point, you just kind of get to not blame somebody and just focus on what you're going to do. I don't know. Right. I think it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't bother me at all. I just, I mean, I guess it makes sense. So like if you're suspending one part of All-Stars rules, then maybe you're, you know, also changing things, how they go down with the challenge. So ultimately, either way, I really don't think that it really mattered. I mean, at least the way that this was edited, it didn't really feel like, oh my God, I'm the first one, I gotta have pressure. Like it didn't really feel that way. I felt like as long as you spread these jokes out amongst all of the queens, I feel like it really mattered too much to me.
I think when you have so many talented queens, then the order maybe matters less. I know that there was a lot of Trinity foreshadowing with her being like, oh my God, I bombed so bad in my past two roast challenges.
Yeah.
But at this point, they were all so good that it probably doesn't really make that big of a difference where you go. Although maybe there was a little bit, I have a theory later. But yeah, for queens that are also talented, I think it's like, you know what, throw them in whenever, they'll all be successful. Plus, you want to see them hump. As Amon was saying, you want to see some balloons pop. You want to see how terrible Jinx is at being a top. Like, you know, those are the things that we want
to
see.
I can't believe she asked him to turn around. Like, no. I mean, we're barely skating the line of, you know.
Can he turn around?
I was like, how inappropriate this can be. Like,
would have been great. Like, could you lay on your back on the floor? I'm just going to.
He did turn around though. He was like, all right.
Yeah, it was like, I'm down.
No.
I like how RuPaul was like,
That's the line, RuPaul. Out of all the things that's happened on this show.
Poor Viv just thought that she wasn't going to be able to get that hump in. And you could tell, can I hump? I know which place I'm in, but I want it. Please.
Like, yo, the way they have them behaving, they must be padlocked in them hotel rooms, man. Like,
I mean, this is the end, right? So
I have to imagine they have a little bit more freedom than like the normal seasons would. I have a feeling that they don't suffer fools as well.
Probably not.
All right. Let's get into each performance. We'll go through everybody individually. So first up was Raja. Beth, what do you feel about Raja this week?
I thought Raja did a really great job opening. I was a little nervous because I think that I thought she did a good job with the speech. As y'all recall, I didn't think she should have been in the top, but I thought it was fine. But I thought that she, like, hers was like joke. Like, it was consistent. I was entertained. I didn't think that there was a dull moment. I think that some people had stronger, funnier jokes, but I thought that she did really well. And to start off a show, that's a lot of pressure. And I thought she did really well with it.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when Michelle said that she was the meanest. I mean, I guess maybe she was the one that sort of like went hardcore with the Viv, which is probably like one of the more sensitive topics. So I guess I could see it that way. But I felt like as a whole, she was, you know, pretty tame, and she did a good job of like keeping the level consistent throughout her set. Like, I didn't think there was really ever a dead part, whereas others there were some parts where it was like, okay, that was kind of a miss, but it kept going. I thought that she did a good job, and she sort of had like this really, really upbeat energy as she delivered the jokes, as if, oh my God, isn't this just so funny? I'm having so much fun, aren't you? You bitches. Like, I love that entire thing.
Yeah, I think she was really fun. I think she held her own, definitely. She had the one drug. joke about the Viv. It was like, Viv's done so much ketamine, people are betting on her at the Kentucky Derby. That I actually like laughed out loud. That was funny. The RuPaul handprint joke, also the I got her autograph and it's still on the wall today or something like that. I thought that was funny. That was, you know, clever. Because again, when you talk about like, oh, you're going to call RuPaul old. Oh, okay. You know, but I thought that was still funny and it was clever. And also it puts her in it because she asked him for the autograph, right? So it's like, she's also old. So kind of poking fun at herself.
Exactly.
And then the one one other joke that I really liked was the one about Shea Coulee, my Uber driver who was like smelly and BO, loud music, whatever, still has more stars.
That did take me a second to get. And I was like, oh, like he won more stars in this competition? Or like, what's it? I was like, oh my God, Uber stars, you dumb bitch, Beth.
Yes.
Like, yeah. That Uber one did feel a little bit more like, ooh, because it's like happening. Like right now. So like, woo, okay.
Yeah. Also, what a great way to play the game too. If you like want to guarantee yourself a spot, which some of the queens kind of alluded to this, like Jinx and Jada, you might not want to go after them. You might want to just keep Shay where she's at. Yeah, it's a bitch move to do, but this is a competition. Mm-hmm. Make her trip up so that she's not in that top two and she still only has one star going into the second to last episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's interesting that you bringing that up. So I just want to stop down for 1 second because we do see the alliance talk between Monet and Trinity where they think they're being subtle, but everyone can obviously tell that they're talking strategy, which is so funny to me. And yeah, they have that exact conversation that we even had earlier in the season, which is that it's not worth it to block Jinx. It's not worth it to block because at the time, who's the other one at three? Jada. Yeah, Jada at three. So yeah, then, you know, who is it that you go after? They, of course, didn't have an answer, as they normally don't. And of course, it doesn't matter because, as we know, the Platinum Plunger is retired. But it's funny that, like, this alliance is still going on despite seeming like it's never really materialized into anything, like, concrete.
And I love that besides, like, maybe, you know, helping each other get the materials that they wanted for a design challenge or picking the order that they want to go in, those kind of things for like, the graduation speeches. But you're right. Like, it's really done nothing for them so far. So it'll be interesting to see if it manifests itself, if they're stealing stars or whatever the twist is. Because I'm convinced it cannot just be, all right, everybody get one star for this week. Because how do you do that?
Or unless maybe we didn't see some, like, help that they were giving each other. Or maybe Monet was giving Trinity help with some of the jokes. Because, I mean, it was, like, the whole narrative for Trinity this episode was, oh my God, I suck at writing jokes. So maybe Monet helped her out a little bit just to make sure that her sister would be on the top.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's definitely possible. Yeah. And then, but then like, why wouldn't they show us that? Or maybe just like, we're just like supposed to know they're in alliance or maybe, maybe it manifests next week when there's the star stealing potentially, whatever. We don't know.
We also know that, as you mentioned before, Liana, like everybody knows when they're talking strategy because Monet apparently has that really deep bass voice. And she starts talking like this and gets really low. And I love that Jinx immediately just calls them out in front of the whole room. It's like, we know when you're talking strategy because this is what your voice does. And like the fact, you know how Monet will do that? Like, ah, she didn't even do that. She was like, oh yeah, I do that. Great.
I mean, at this point, it's week 10, cycle 10. Like, let's call a spade a spade.
Exactly. Let's talk about the next queen, Evie Oddly. Amon, how'd you feel about Evie?
I enjoyed Evie. This is the first time that we've seen her do something like this, I think.
Yes, because she didn't have a roast in her original season.
Yeah. So, like, besides a reading challenge, this is the first time. And I think it was sort of like kind of like towards the middle. I feel like, Michelle sort of gave her props for sort of having a more low key vibe, which I don't necessarily think served her well in this challenge. I mean, we know that Evie isn't particularly like, you know, when it comes to comedy, she's really not that girl. So I felt like any more, like, I feel like maybe if she gave a little bit more animation to the jokes, that I would have been along for the ride a bit more. But with that being said, I still feel like they were well crafted and she understood the timing and she was able to hit the marks. And it was a good time nonetheless. But I do feel like hers is one of the shorter ends. I tend to imagine that they probably just cut together the best bits of everyone's. And so if hers are shorter than the rest, I'm like, okay, well then you must not have had too many great zingers. So. Yeah.
Well, there was some tea that came out about the best bits, so to say, from the Vivian was very vocal about it this week. Twitter saying all of her best jokes were not included in the episode, and neither were a couple of Trinity's that she felt like.
Interesting.
And so she said, you know, something along the lines of like, you wait and wait and wait to see this let air, and then you realize they didn't put any of your best stuff in. and it's really frustrating. And I think that she just basically was like, I know that they're trying to say a narrative for the episode, but it's like, come on. So I am interested to see who I would love. It's one of those things where I wish I could see like what made it on the cutting room floor that we didn't get to see.
Yeah, totally.
I thought that Evie did really well. And I feel like she's somebody that very easily could have been edited to be weaker than maybe she actually was. But I didn't think that she was weak at all. I agree with you, Iman. I would put her in like my fourth or fifth spot altogether, kind of like in the middle of the pack. That low key vibe, it's Evie, when we've seen her in her like untucked arguments in season 11. She can bring the volume up. But the way that she delivers those jokes is exactly the kind of energy that she would bring if she was in an argument with you. Like, I just, that kind of shade is like, she doesn't have to do much and she can have a lower voice and still cut you down.
That's a good point.
And I really love that she brought that without, it's like playing up the character of a bitch without actually, you know, being a bitch in the moment. Like you're doing a roast. It's a comedy thing. And I thought that she did a lot with that energy and I want to give her a lot of props for that.
So I remember seeing this. Evie replied to a tweet thread that the Vivian had started based on the jokes that were cut. And one of the jokes is the one to Trinity, which is Trinity is known by many as a pageant queen, a perfectionist, or a profile named She Devil by Night. But to me, she'll always just be a prostitute. So, and apparently the She Devil by Night thing has been like referenced multiple times on the season, but they've like completely cut it out because it's probably too much to explain, I guess. And a front runner to
maybe they just don't want it to be associated with
I don't know, but anyway, I mean it's unclear whether or not she actually said it, but it was in response to Shea Coulee saying there were a lot of good jokes that didn't make the roast. That's my thought. But anyway, so definitely some tea with the way that this was edited down, which I want to see the full thing. Like, I would love to see the full thing uncut.
Even if they have to make me buy the DVD set of it, I will do that. In 2022, I would do that to see the full roast.
Yeah. I think Evie's favorite joke for me was the work joke. Like, even Jada has gotten work done. I'll give you time to look for it. Jinx. And it was like, she got her hair, or Jinx. It's like, she got her hairline done. And Jinx looks in the mirror and thinks, oh yeah, that's the problem.
But it was her impersonation of Jinx that really got
spot on.
Because it was spot on, but also like, didn't at all sound like her, but it did. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, there's people who can sound exactly like Jinx. Like, I think of like, you know, like the Trixies of the world who have done like a spot on like Trixie Mattel, like kind of like voice or whatever. And it's really good. But I thought the essence that Evie brought was perfect for her. It was all great.
Let's talk about Shay. I felt like Shay was fine. I thought that the skinny little bitch joke took a little while for me to like actually think it was funny, because at first I was just like, okay, this is her version of you might be a redneck if kind of style of joke.
Not the Jeff Foxworthy approach.
I know, right? The straightest thing you could think of. And I do feel also like the advice that she got from Ross, and I think it was Ross specifically, not Solomon Giorgio, who were the two that were giving the feedback on the Queen set. That advice of be super sweet, but be super biting. Yeah, that worked real well for Pheromone. Why are you giving a queen that advice? Like, that's just terrible advice. And so I felt like she was trying to do that a little bit and it just didn't work because it never works.
Yeah, it's like saying be funny.
Just like be funny.
It was also the same exact advice that she got for the graduation speech, where she didn't get in the top. So maybe it's time to push her to do something different outside of the wheelhouse of what you expect from her. And maybe she would rise to the occasion in a different capacity rather than trying to stick with her in this one area. Whereas people who have been sticking to the same kind of stuff because this is in their wheelhouse, like Jinx or Trinity or whatever, in terms of like how they express their comedy, that's working for them. They're winning challenges that way. Shay has not been winning challenges this way. So it's time to change it up. If I were her, I would have said, you know, what are some other characters that you like to do, even if it's not for entertainment? Like, are there people that you bring up or voices that you bring up with your friends that you do? And like, let's play around with that a little bit. How can you bring that character here? And I also think of like people like, think about Coco Montrese doing the roast in season 5 where she played RuPaul's like cousin from the projects or whatever. It was like, I mean, that was like so not what we expected from Coco, but she was able to play up the character while roasting, and it just made the comedy so much better. And I think that, you know, finding a character would have been a good route for Shay.
Yeah, I think so too, because I think like it sort of reminds me, your suggestion sort of reminds me of back in All Stars 5 where they had to be this character at a family reunion and incorporated into their runway. And I felt like what Shay had come up with was so interesting and different from what we've seen before. So maybe that would have helped a bit. I liked the Jada thing, but I guess, yeah, it did sort of like slow the whole set down a little bit because then it sort of felt like it was just more about Jada than anything else. And I think I think that all of her jokes were fine. I think that just maybe she just suffered from everyone else just sort of being just a little better, you know, and it's just just what happens when everyone's really good. So I think she just tends to get swallowed up in a lot of these challenges, and she knows it. Like, I mean, she said in the confessional a couple episodes ago, I'm starting to sink into the background. I don't know if some of this is like maybe she's in her head a bit too much. I don't know. But
I think she was clearly in her own way. And we could see that from the things that she was saying in confessionals or talking with Monet in this episode. And I think the coaching that would have benefited her from Solomon and from Ross would have been to get her out of that head and to be looser. So I don't know. I for me, there's a part of me that almost wants to say she was in last place for me this week, but it's, I can't do that. And instead, I will say Jada. Yeah, I laughed more at Jada, which is what the sad part of it is. Like, that's the point where I'm trying to make. But I laughed at her because she wasn't doing well.
It was giving me look over there energy, right? So
yeah, seriously.
Okay, let's talk about our winner, Jinx. So where do we want to start? Who has strong feelings about Jinx?
I mean, I really feel like I would have enjoyed this a lot more if RuPaul was not laughing so hard. Like, and I know, because I read the comments that you guys send us. I know that you all get a little annoyed when I get on Ru. I get it. But sometimes enough is enough. It's just so, like, I love that RuPaul enjoys what he does, and I think RuPaul is very funny. I really do. But sometimes I'm just like just let the joke breathe a bit before you come in with that cackle. It's like it kind of felt like it was put on, and I know that it's not. That's why I'm like, had to tread lightly here.
The coffee enema kicking in.
Yeah, it's the coffee enema. Maybe like I had a couple shots, did a couple lines. I don't know. But I do think that Jinx did a really good job. This was in her wheelhouse. At this point, I feel comfortable in saying that I think that my original theory about how the social media things work at the beginning of each season and how the one that always gets the most amount of likes ends up winning the season, I'm pretty sure that Jinx is going to win this season at this point. It just, the writing is on the wall. She won another challenge. There's one more challenge left. Unless everyone that's on this cast decides to steal her stars, which they would never do because they would hate to have the rest of the franchise and the fandom come for them over this. She's going to make it to the end, and I just don't see how she doesn't win because the track record is just there and it's well deserved most of the time. So yeah, I did enjoy the set, but a piece of me was like, well, I mean, okay, and moving on. Like, she was the placeholder winner here.
I could see that perspective. I would like to say that let's remember that the last episode's all lip syncing. So who knows if Jinx beat some other people in lip syncing?
That is true.
You are muted, Liana.
You mean like the finale? And I'm just telepathy.
I was reading your lips.
Yeah. No, you mean the very final episode, the finale, not the
The finale is going to be, you know, the top four are doing the lip sync
for your legacy thing.
Yeah. Which I don't know how I feel about that after watching all of this. I'm like, ugh. But I don't know. I thought Jinx was clearly the best one. As funny as her snorting cocaine off of Evie's dick joke was, it was also kind of like, okay, you already kind of did this with your snatch game. I would have loved to have had a very different joke. Now, granted, it had a very different ending. I like that it just made a weird turn that she's turning into her mother, which we all, you know, that turns into a theme in your life in your 30s. And then you start realizing I'm slowly morphing into my parents. But I thought that her edging joke about Shangela was iconic.
Yes.
And I think that she knows how to do a roast. I've watched her do roasts many times on YouTube. There's some really good ones. Whenever you can get her and Bianca together, it's a great time. I highly suggest you all do some YouTube searches if you haven't done so already. I'm sure you all have. But I had such high expectations for her. I thought that she met them. But I understand where you're coming from, Aman. It just kind of feels like, okay, what can't she do besides everything that we've already seen with the construction challenges? And even then, she's done really well. So I do want to say that I really liked that she stepped up to say, I want to help you, Trinity, get out of your head because you've been so helpful to me with the construction challenges. And I know that this is something that you're feeling insecure about. And I want to take the time to kind of coach and mentor you in this. And again, I know that like the world's kind of negative right now and there's a lot going on. So I don't know if I'm just like that broken and fragile of a person. I'm like, this is what we need in our world. We need more people.
For connection.
Yeah, exactly. Something positive.
I was like, I can root for, look at how beautiful humanity is. She's helping her roast her. It's so nice.
Oh my God. That's amazing. I mean, look, Jinx is always going to smash out of the park when it comes to a roast, right? She's like, she's professional at it. So I do feel like, I think that that always influences when someone's like just so good at something and they smash out of the park. You're like, yeah, okay. Like they smash it apart, right? That's what they do, right? They're known for that. And so it doesn't necessarily take you by surprise as being like, oh, wow, they did really well. But still, I want to give credit where credit is due because she obviously like excelled.
Yeah, it's so predictable because she's so damn good.
Like, but yes, you know, exactly. Which kind of, you know, takes a little bit of the like excitement necessarily out of it, but doesn't diminish how funny it was. I also think her joke from earlier, and I love this like style of joke, which is Monet is so bald. How bald is she? She doesn't have any hair. That's like very bad.
The anti-joke, yeah.
Yeah, the anti-joke.
I'm just saying a fact.
Yeah. So Jinx smashed it. Very, very impressed, of course. I think she did quite well. So the next person is Trinity. And this is someone who I'm really interested to hear your thoughts about whether or not she ultimately deserved to be in the top. Because don't get me wrong, she was funny. And I think knowing that she's done poorly in roasts in the past, you have those low expectations. So then for her to be able to come in and to, you know, do a good job, to have some really funny jokes, the, you know, the comedy runs in the family, you know, because her mom delivered one, Bob playing or Monet playing second fiddle to Bob, right? All of those jokes are really funny. But Rue was cackling in the same way that she was cackling to Jinx. And I do kind of wonder if the order made a big difference. Like she was just, she's on a cackling streak and she's going to keep on cackling into Trinity's performance here. And was that part of the reason why Trinity ultimately ended up in the top?
I think so. I also think if you go back and watch, she did not stop cackling from Raja's first word to Vivian's last. Like there were times where even like Jada was getting cackles and I was like, RuPaul, I love you and I love how supportive you are right now. I love how open your humor is, but my goodness, I think we could take a break. I'm sure RuPaul went home and was like, I don't need to do ab workouts for like 10 years now. Like I am set. I do think that Trinity was in the top three. But there was a sense of confidence that was missing from her in telling this jokes where it was like, she was cautious where she was like, I'm telling these jokes. I hope they're funny. And da da da. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like there's something that my finger is like, I, I can't put my finger on it. It was like, and I don't want to say confidence because I do think that she had much more confidence now that she's ever had in her roast. But I do think that there was a little voice in her head. And once she started hearing the laughter and it wasn't silent, you could tell that she was warming up as the set went on. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I can see her getting into the top. I'm not mad about it, but I definitely think that another queen should have taken her spot.
I think that either Monet or the Vivian should have been in that second spot. I agree with you. I couldn't quite put my finger on it until you just said it. I think that there was a certain level of professionalism and I got this energy that both Monet and the Vivian came forward with as well as Jinx that I do not believe was there for Trinity, which, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that the jokes weren't good because they were, but I think that comedy is all in the timing and the delivery. You know, if you know your shit's good and you come up there with confidence, then we gonna laugh regardless. So yeah, I do wonder what exactly was going on here with the judging. RuPaul was laughing very hard, maybe even harder than she was laughing at Jinx. And I was like, damn, like, what is going on here? So, I'm not sure about this one. This is the one where you kind of like put your little tinfoil hat on and you're like, what's going on here?
In the same way that I'm also kind of interested, we didn't get any of this and I'm not saying this is the truth. I'm saying it is a conspiracy theory that I am coming up with, but how many of those jokes were written by Jinx is what I want to know.
Yeah, well, apparently a lot of them outsourced their jokes, like, in general, before they came. That's what the tea was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like, I don't know, I have this battle, this one-sided battle with Trinity the Tuck in my mind. And I just feel like, some of the time, I feel like she... I'm not trying to be like armchair psychologist here. I'm really not. But sometimes I feel like she knows that some of these wins that she gets are like, because she has this whole little, she has this whole little tweet defending herself. And you know what? Power to you, sis. Like, yes, you better get on here and you fucking defend your shit and talk your shit. Because at the end of the day, yes, you are a winner of All-Stars 4. Can nobody take that shit away from you? Yada, 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 yada. But I still feel like a little bit of that critique gets to her because it's a critique that it's not uncommon for Trinity. I feel like there's a lot of people that are like, really? And I think that can get to people. So like, I don't want to, you know, pile on and be negative because I think that Trinity is funny. And I think that she's one of the most gorgeous people that has been on this damn show. Like her runways are like not 10 out of 10 this week. I don't know. Most of the time, 10 out of 10. So like, I feel like she's definitely a great queen and deserves all the success that she has. But I do think that sometimes I feel like, I don't know, there's some of the wins are like, like
she's a great queen.
Be a great queen and not have the same wins. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, and I don't blame her for it.
Right.
You know, it's obviously production and the way that, however they edited it, what jokes they edited out. Like, look, a decision was made by Rue in that moment. I'm not going to hold it against her. This is our Monday day quarterback.
Which day? Oh no, don't give me another win. Oh
yeah, right, exactly.
I really don't deserve this, man.
But that's the other thing too, like they could have cut this out as well, but we have this huge proclamation that Jinx is going to help her. We don't see that happening. And in the same way that Jinx, while on the runway, was like, I need to tell you guys that Trinity and Jada helped me with this, we don't get that same thing. So I don't know, it very well could have been she just ran some jokes past Jinx and maybe Jinx helped her in that way. But
yeah,
I don't really know. As you said before, Liana, it's not uncommon for drag queens to outsource jokes, like, or even, you know, during season 6, before the reading challenge, Darian Lake was giving all the queens the jokes to say against her. Like she told Jocelyn Fox to do the toilet one where she uses the back of a toilet like an eating surface. Like at the end of the day, they're just trying to make good TV, right? I agree with you, Iman. I think that Trinity is one of the strongest queens that has ever been on the show. I think that she sometimes gets a little bit too much credit for the comedy portion than what she's actually bringing, but that doesn't mean that she's not entertaining. It doesn't mean that she's not a great queen. I think you could look at any queen I've definitely looked at Alaska, who's one of the best queens, and gone, I don't know about that win, you know? not her win in All Stars 2. I'm actually one of the few people who's like, nope, that was... Katya was not robbed. She won fair and square. I do think that this is, at the end of the day, it's a subjective show.
As always, yeah.
So. Well, Trinity is the first queen to have 11 wins total. So,
yeah,
credit where credit is due.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about Monet. So, Aman, you thought that Monet could be in that second slot. Tell us why.
I just thought that she bring it. She brought it. The energy that she had. I just sort of loved her whole performance. I know that she shouldn't get a lot of credit for this, but I sort of just like loved her interactiveness with the rest of the queens. She was like the butt of so many of the other jokes, and she was just giving such a great face and reaction. Like, I feel like she's just such a student of comedy. I feel like she loves it. I think, you know, that she gets that from Bob the Drag Queen, you know what I mean? Well, she doesn't get it from him, but you know what I mean. Like, they are of a similar cloth. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it really, this is just like where they really shine here. And I felt like this was just a good showing for her.
I think that her having the Build series as a talk show and having Sibling Rivalry as a podcast has given her a lot of skills to feel comfortable. In addition to how many, you know, drag shows has she hosted in New York City and all these things that just give you that practical experience to get behind a mic and talk shit and just feel good doing it. And like you said, Aman, like that energy comes through and it makes everything instantly funnier when you have the confidence to say this is funny. How many times have you laughed at somebody who thinks that they're being funny, and they have the full confidence and they're saying nothing that's funny? Like, I think of Alyssa Edwards. Like, Alyssa Edwards' like roast was so bad, but at least she had the confidence to be like, I'm so funny. And I'm like, that in itself is entertaining. I will watch that all day long. That is great. But I agree. I think Monet did really well. She I thought she did well. And then when I watched it back again, I kind of felt like she was in like that third, fourth spot for me. I felt like that's kind of like she and Trinity were on a similar level. Monet brought more confidence and delivery, and Trinity brought more jokes, I thought. Like, they kind of, if they had like come together as one, it would have been a perfect roast in terms of all of that, those aspects. So I think that she was definitely in the top half for sure.
I think obviously the delivery was super solid. There were some jokes though that I was like, meh. Like it gets butter joke. I didn't think, was she calling her fat because she made a cake? Is that the joke?
So she's saying that she's gained weight.
Yeah, and that she's lost weight since her season. So like, I didn't get it. And then the Viv is popping back. She's like, girl. So like, for example, there's jokes like that, right? So to me, then that's where, Beth, I totally get what you're saying, that it's almost like if you combine the two, Monet's delivery was so solid and so good. But then there were some jokes that I just had to go, wait, what? Did I hear that right? So I don't know if is that what she meant. I don't get. Am I stupid?
I thought it was just a fat joke. But then again, I'm not really familiar with the Vivian because I never watched season one.
You should. It's a good one.
I've heard. Maybe I was lacking the sort of history.
I don't know. Anyway, I mean, look, if you found it funny and you laugh, like, then she accomplished the task, right? Because someone found it funny. So I got, you know, got to give her that. The Messence of Beauty line.
That was good.
I love, loved, as we could tell by Rue cackling in the background.
The Messence of Beauty. Did you hear that?
The other one I really liked from Shay, it was about Shay, from Monet, was Shay has been in so many movies.
Yeah. That was a good one.
That one made me laugh as well. Let's talk about Jada, our second to last performer. And we kind of discussed Jada already a little bit. And I do wonder, because she had incorporated it into her set, her mess up, right? Mm-hmm. If she hadn't done that, I wonder if the editors would try to edit around it. I felt like they couldn't edit around it because she ended up integrating it into so many of her jokes. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of went through the whole set. Maybe it would not have been possible at all to really edit mm-hmm. around the flubs, because it's kind of so many throughout the set. It was still funny, though. I mean, not for the right reasons, maybe.
It was funny because she basically was able to say, wow, I can't roast you all. I guess I'm the butt of the joke, and like just started kind of roasting herself. Mm-hmm. And I have huge respect for anybody who does that. Mm-hmm. I just think that generally speaking, like all people want in this world is people just to take ownership. Right. Mm-hmm. We want to take ownership if you fuck up something, but I also want you to take ownership if you're like, you know what? I'm trying to be funny, but I'm not. Like that makes it inherently funnier, especially with Jada's personality. Mm-hmm. And you can tell she's a fast talker. And I think her problem is that she didn't know how to slow the pace down in a way that was still true to how she mm-hmm. delivers lines. If she had slowed the pace down and had taken her time saying these words yeah. and had done it like this and then did the punchline, I think it would have been fine. But she's going to sit there and do this and blah, 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 and the entire time. And oh my God, I just tripped over my words and I don't know what I'm saying. Oh my God. Blah, blah, blah.
You know, that's like, how she that is how she talks, like in confessionals. Yeah. That's her. That is mm-hmm. her nature. And so, yeah, the performance aspect maybe needs to be a little bit different if you're going to have all yeah. those complicatedly worded jokes, right?
It was so funny. Oh my God. But I know, I think that's pretty astute, because yeah, I mean, and that was one of my issues, like when delivering lines, when I would be in theater and in plays, my brain sometimes just, it moves so much faster mm-hmm. than my mouth can. Yes. And by the time I mess up, then I'm like so focused on the mess up, and it's just so even now at my job, I have a sort of like script that I have to follow a lot of the time when speaking with new clients. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I can get so ahead of myself that I'm fumbling over words that I should already know. So I relate to this so much. And I felt like when Michelle was like, yeah, like when you did mess up, you really came alive. At first I was like, oh, of course you're going to say that. But no, it really made a lot of sense, because she really slowed it down at that time. She was like, oh, something about like Evie Oddly's dick, you know, being a mess. She's like, which is sort of what this is turning into with mm-hmm. this motherfucking roast right now. Like, it was just so funny. And like, you're laughing at her, but you're also Ooh. Laughing with her, which I think is a wonderful combination. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a mm-hmm. very fun time to watch. But yeah, obviously, you were supposed to be roasting everyone else, not yourself.
She did tell us she's not funny she's not funny standing up, but she's funny sitting down and talking shit. So we were prepared. All right. Last but not least is the mm-hmm. Vivian. So this is the person that I would have put in the top two, personally, especially mm-hmm. knowing some of the other jokes. So there was one that she tweeted about, which I want to pull it up because it's funny. her favorite joke was Trinity the Tuck. She's been canceled more times than AJ and the Queen. And apparently RuPaul went off screaming, laughing, and then they talked about it in the critiques, so that wasn't even included. Then I'm very curious to know what else was in her set, right? Because I even feel like all of the jokes in the set were so solid. I loved the Zoom wedding one about Jinx, that her husband can't stand to be in the same room as her. The Trinity one, her line this season has been, I live, but you know, until the silicone migrates, and then you die. That yeah. made me laugh. The exchange rate is Latin for cancel. Like, I don't know. I just felt like everything that she yeah. hit was so solid. And also, we talked about this already.
It was very tight.
Delivery. Yes, it was tight. Mm-hmm. The delivery was good. I liked the Viv from her original season, but her on All Stars, I have just become so much more of a Vivian fan.
Same. Mm-hmm. I loved her on UK season one. I think it's easier to get swept up into the, you know, the Davina DeCampos and the bag of chips of it all, and those other strong contenders.
The Cheryl.
Oh my God, Cheryl. And the blue hydrangeas mm-hmm. and all the, they had such a good cast for season one. But the Vivian was almost kind of like a villain on the season. Yeah. And you kind of actively rooted against her in many ways because you wanted I'm not even sorry, Iman. I'm
Wait,
not
she
sorry.
Won?
Oh, I know, right? Oh my God.
But it's she's somebody that you just kind of feel like you knew she had the talent from the moment she stepped in the same way that like everybody knew Lawrence Cheney was going to win season two.
Lawrence Cheney.
And it's just, she had that same energy where so many times we want the front runner to slip up and have somebody else have their moment. That's kind of how I felt with the Vivian in season one. And now that she's not getting her moments, and I think that she should be, I'm like so in her corner because this is the, like at least the second time. And both times she went last, the first time being the graduation speeches where I felt like she should have been in the top two for that. And I felt like she should have been in the top two for this one. And I'm not understanding what she could do more, right? And sometimes it's you just can't do more. Somebody else is beating you. But in this situation, both times I've honestly felt like I don't think anybody beat her except for Jinx. I really, truly think that.
Yeah, it's giving. It's giving ethnocentrism, RuPaul. What, you got a little problem with our neighbors across the pond? No, but seriously, like, it was great. It was great. I'm willing to sort of like rescind my confidence in Monet Exchange's set for the Vivian because it was all of the jokes were hard hitting and punching. And I do think that her being from Britain helped with that because I mean she talked about how a lot of their comedy is a little bit different. And I think it's because it's a bit more dry over there, which is going to lend itself to something like a roast where you're, being biting. Yeah. So I thought she did a great job. And I love that she was able to laugh at herself about her addiction. I feel like anyone that can do that is, I feel like that's such an important process for some people's recovery. Not everyone is okay with that type of thing. But I think it is especially brave when you are able to be like, oh yeah, bitch, I was out here, I was addicted, and that was fucked up, wasn't it? No. So yeah, I thought that she, this was definitely a shining moment for her, and I'm not entirely sure why she was not granted that opportunity.
It's the xenophobia for me.
Yeah, it's giving xenophobia, baby.
Yes.
Xenophobia. Xenophobia, yes.
Yes. Let's discuss the runway before we get into the lip sync. So the theme for this week, all glowed up lights. That's the theme. We are lighting up the runway. This was such a cool idea. And I genuinely feel like you could really only do it. Either it's got to be the first runway of a season or you got to do it on a season like this where all the queens are going to be there because these looks look so freaking expensive.
Yeah. Could you imagine if on a regular season they had done this but saved it for like Final Four and all these queens would have spent so much money when they didn't have the means? Like, it's not like they had the national platform beforehand necessarily. Ugh.
For me, the top standout was Raja's. And I think that just kind of like made I think the other ones were gorgeous. But I think in terms of like defining what the category was, to have Raja come out first with 200 lasers covered in crystals, the black cage, the shoes, like everything about it was just like, holy crap, this is so cool.
I thought Raja's was so cool. The problem I had with Raja's is I didn't get a sense of the full outfit when the lights were down like I did with the other queens, but she also had a very different lighting scheme that everybody else had, like the lighting from inside out kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Hers were literal lasers. And I thought that because hers was so different, that just put her in her own class. Like, I loved it. It was so cool.
Yeah, I did. I was wondering like what it was because it wasn't an issue per se, but there was like something, it was like, why is yours so much different? I think it does have a lot to do with the lighting and the structuredness of it all. Because you couldn't really see it. You could see it, of course. Like, you could see the lights, but you couldn't really see the form of it too much when the lights were out. And some of that might probably have to do with the fact that, like, on camera, it's not registering the same way because all of the judges were like, oh, my God. Like, and I feel like if we were there in person, it would definitely register a bit more. But it was, it was laser tag, like.
Yes, like, it was.
Just, like,
if you're watching the video version, it was this one on the right where they sort of had this, they finally put the smoke up. And so you could really see like all the lasers.
Yeah.
I think that that was, I think that's what the issue was in terms of filming. Cause you know, they do the runway twice. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly confident they took a lot of the first, cause like if you turn, it also changes the light view and then your eyes have to adjust. And so she would have had to go very slowly. I think that they realized they need the smoke more. Mm-hmm. And like, there's a lot that goes into that.
What reflects all of the, the smoke is what really shows you. Yes. Like,
I really feel like they realized they didn't have enough smoke out there, and that's not Raja's fault. Like, you know, I think that that's just something. Yeah. So maybe the second runway they had more smoke, and I could tell which were the two runways, like, because they looked vastly different. They put them together like they do for most runways with people. But it was just, I honestly think that's more to do with how it translates on television. If I saw that in a theater or something with had like more control, the way I would be just take my whole social security number. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Yeah. You're not going to get much out of it. But here you are. Mm-hmm.
I felt like Evie's also, I know I'm kind of going in order, but I know Evie's was also just like absolutely stunning. With the way that she did the lights with the whole mushroom of it all.
I loved hers. I think that Evie's is actually my favorite. This is just a color palette and a light palette that is just so pleasing to me. I love blues and I love this like electric blue mushroom kind of feel. There's, you know, I can't help but think of Willow Pill too, and like how shared they are with mushrooms and that kind of thing. And the only thing I actually don't think she needed the light up teeth portion. I think that that could have been just let the dress be itself, but I also don't mind her doing her own thing too. But this, I mean, she looked absolutely gorgeous.
I love it so much. It was just so stunning. I just love that Evie Oddly is always one of, like, she's, you know, of the band of the quirky on the fringe type of queens, but I feel like she marries that so much with great glam too, because I'm more of a glam person than I will ever be a fringe person. So I just feel like a lot of her looks are so tantalizing because she's not one of the fringe queens like in Adore that'll be like, no, fuck that. I'm going to come on this stage and like not give you that glam because that's who I am, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But oh God, I love it when they do marry the two. It's just so, it just reminds me of like the Best Dragon season 11 at the end of the season where she comes out with the three breasts and the three ass cheeks and the three fingers and the three, oh, it's just like, oh, it's so gorgeous. And Evie's makeup throughout this entire season is probably some of the best out of it. Anybody, like, I didn't even know she had skills like that. Like, it's so good. Like, she's really stepped up her game. She really has.
That same dress, that mushroom dress, was the same one from the same designer and creator that made her lip syncing finale with like the mirror.
The mirror.
Yep. Made the same dress as the mushroom one, or not the same dress, but was the same designer.
Let's see. Is there any other ones? We've got Shay. She had the...
Oh my God, Shay's...
The sunflower fairy goddess look, which was gorgeous both in and like with the lights on and off.
Yes.
And her makeup also. She's been doing a different eye look, and I think it looks it looks very light, which I think totally works for this kind of thing.
Oh my gosh, she looked so good with those white dots everywhere all over her. Oh my God, it was so stunning. It was glowing. Like, it really, her look was one of the ones that really screamed glow to me. Like, it just like reflected off of her skin in the dark like that. Like, it was just so, oh, I just couldn't get enough of it. This runway was so good.
What I like the most about her runway, and when we're talking about both in and out of light, is how different it looks. And it's a complete look that just brings something different each time. When the lights are out and it's just her, you know, the sunflower petals / fairy outfit, it highlights not only the light, but also the shadows. And it's just a really cool looking, like, is this a dark fairy or what's going on? But it's a light yellow, so it's got to be a good fairy. Like, what's happening?
Like bioluminescence.
Yes, it was so cool. And then, you know, with the lights on, just looking at how beautiful she looked, I wanted to give her extra credit because I feel like those outfits that could stand on their own without the light up portion, I want to give extra credit to. And she's like top of the list for that for me.
Mm-hmm. Get you a girl that can do both. Mm. Beth, you mentioned Jinx's look, the witches being burned fire dress, the little like fire things on the shoulders. Although one of them didn't look like it was working. The right one didn't look like it was working, but the concept, love that.
I think this is one of the best concepts I've ever seen Jinx do on a runway, if not the best one. Jinx has a specific look, a specific style, and, you know, Jinx is a witch. And so I love that she was bringing a part of who she is into her drag aesthetic, into such an interesting and cool concept. At first I was like, is she Joan of Arc or something? And then I realized it was witches and I was like, I got that still makes sense. But it's just such a cool aesthetic for her and such a great concept.
Yeah.
I wish she had a stake in the back. That's the only thing, like something in the back. So you could like kind of see it over her. That's the only thing that I would have added. But otherwise I thought it was, like you said, a very, very cool concept.
Yeah,
I love those type of dresses with that silhouette that it gives you a floating look as they walk down. And I feel like it takes a little bit of practice to learn how to walk on those dresses to give that effect. So I thought that was just gorgeous. And I mean, we're all familiar with, you know, the Salem Witch Trials. I think it sort of like speaks to all of our little witchy Halloweeny proclivities. So you're always going to get points, I think, with everybody for this. It's a crowd pleaser of a dress. So yeah, I thought it was great, and I loved the way that it really did. You know, it's the fire's glow. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like it really captured that well. I would have preferred if she would have screamed as opposed to laughed. I want to hear like a blood curdling, like I am being burned alive, bitch. Like that would have set it off for me.
I think
that's on Dracula.
Yeah, true.
No, I was going to say one laughing, one screaming, right? You do it twice, capture both emotions.
Yeah.
Trinity just looked like
a Ferris wheel.
Yeah, she looked like, that's why I have my notes. I was like, she looks like a Ferris wheel. She described it as the Las Vegas Strip. I prefer Ferris wheel, but that's a lot of lights.
Oh my God, I feel like I'm being such a Trinity hater this episode. This is a beautiful contraption. It really is. But I didn't get glow. I got like flash. You know what I mean? Which I feel like those are two different sensations. Like, this is not things glow because there's a sort of like emanation, like a warmth to them. And then things flash when they're flickering. And I feel like there was so much flickering going on that I was not getting the same like effect that I was getting. Like this is a vastly different like lighting design from most of the other dresses on the runway. So I felt like it sort of stood on its own. It's sort of like the same thing with Raja as well. Like I feel like Raja's was more like a as opposed to like glow. You know what I mean?
Well, I think
that's fair.
Was it a light up? That was the.
I mean,
I thought it was glow up.
The official title that we were told the audience was all glowed up.
Okay,
but I could see them being told light up, right? Light up.
Put some lights on your dress, bitch.
Yeah,
bring a light up dress.
I can't help but love this screenshot that you've stopped it on because her face is like ah. It's like you can barely see it. Yeah. I don't like this, to be honest, in terms of as an outfit. Mm-hmm. I love the bottom portion of the dress, but in terms of like when the lights were out or like when the lights were up and those lights were off, like I was like, okay, this is, you have to have the lights. Now, again, I know I'm being very particular. I don't mean to be a hater or anything. I just don't like that. But I respect anybody who does.
They actually kind of cut her off because most of the queens would come out, the light would be on them. The lights are already starting to turn off as she's walking in. So I don't know if they like did that on purpose, but it's not my favorite necessarily either, but definitely she was lit to high heavens.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to give her credit for
that. Christmas tree. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm surprised. I actually was expecting somebody was going to come out like as a weird Christmas tree, and I would have loved that.
Yeah, so would I. I would have screamed.
The other look that I was not super duper high on was Monet's. I do feel like with the light on, she looks stunning, but it, the lights on the dress, it just, there wasn't enough of a design to sort of be able to outline the way that the dress was. Like, I think, because she's got this like cool sort of swoosh design that wraps around her, but it, she missed the middle part. So there's just lights.
Or it looks like incomplete.
Put like a moon in the middle or something. Yeah, exactly. It just, it doesn't look finished.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe a moon to sort of bring it together. Cause I mean, that looks, I'm looking at it now, like that looks like a night sky. Like I could see constellations. But in terms of like bringing it into the, into a silhouette as a dress. Yeah, maybe not so much. There was another lighting scheme that they had on her where it was like, it wasn't as lit up, but there was like a slight dim to her face. So you could see her face a little bit more. And I feel like that really showed off the dress a lot more. But yeah, I agree. It maybe not enough glow here.
Yeah. I liked the concept a lot. There was a part of me that was, you know, the astrological person inside me was like, it would have been so cool if you like covered it in like the 12 different horoscope constellations or something like that. I also kind of expected from her, because she does this a lot, to have maybe Monet spelled out in the stars, like in a cool way. Because she does a lot of putting her name on her outfits. I also felt like this was not bright enough. And I think a lot of it has to do with the color scheme itself, which is hard to work with. And you also, if even though the lights are down, you still have like all this pink behind you on the stage that is going to steal the focus, because you're dealing with darker colors that are being lit up. So I think that ultimately this is just like an unfortunate like side effect of being on television with lighting versus like in a dark bar or a dark theater. But Monet, please bring that out on tour or something, because I'd like to see it in person.
Yeah, I think Amon, this is the lighting that you were talking about. Again, if you're watching the video version on the left, where it's a little bit more lit up, so you can see the dress a little bit more, and you can actually, you can kind of see the haphazard lights. I don't know; it just doesn't feel like quite the way that it could be to really just sort of nail it.
Right.
All right. Oh, well, we've got two more. Let's just talk about them all. So Jada's is the mermaid look. I like this so much more without the lights.
I know, me too. I actually have to say, I think this is the first time I wasn't a huge fan of something Jada's worn down the runway. I like that it's a little campy, and I like that it's something that I necessarily wouldn't expect from Jada. But I agree with you. I don't think the lights do anything for, I think the lights for the blue portion and the very tip of the tail and the wave do well. I don't like the pink on like the fin. Like,
I think if she was going for a, like a neon sign kind of thing, that would be really cool. Cause I know that was really Monet. Cool. Apparently Monet's original look was like a cowgirl, like a neon cowgirl look. If she had gone, because she has lights on the upper body, but they just don't quite stand out in the same. And then I think you have to do something with the face, like outline the face or like in some kind of way to make that whole thing work. But then there was so much cool detail on the look when the lights weren't added to it. So I don't know. I felt like it worked, like I said, so much better when the lights were off or on. But anyway.
Where would we walk? Where would we run if we could stay all day in the sun? I love this whole thing. I loved it. It was so good. It just looked so good. I loved the whole thing. I disagree with you both entirely. I felt like it looked great with the lights on. It looked great with the lights off. I love that it was like stuff like in her hair, and then like the sort of like bioluminescent like thing down the tail, and she's on like a rock, and there's like a wave, and it's just like a little black aerial. I just love it so much. I loved it.
the illusion of the tail on the side was very cool, and to be able to do that on a dress was very cool. Yeah. And I do
think it's a little chunky. Mm-hmm. So I get that, like towards the bottom, it is a little like, I wish, I don't know, maybe a little bit more construction was needed there to give it just a little bit more of like a flowy feel towards the bottom. Cause there were parts of it where I was like, ooh, that doesn't like move the way that it should move. Like it looks like a big like rock instead of, you know, a tail.
It looked better with the lights on. And I hate that, because I do like it with the lights I almost like I'm taking points off because it looked so good with the lights on. Does that make sense? Like it's a weird. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't. Last look, the Vivs. I want to rip this wig and tear it apart and tear it into a million pieces. In Untucked, it just looks so bad. I don't know. I hated it so much, but I loved the rest of the look. I
loved
the way that the wings moved. So beautiful. I'm not 100% sure that the whole thing like works together with the sort of spacey angel thing. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe I was distracted by the wig, but the wing movement just did it for me.
Yeah. I feel like this is some Final Fantasy shit and I'm here for it. I actually weirdly really like the wig.
No, I'm going to hold on.
Oh, no. I really hated it. And then I realized like, I love that it's so different than what you'd expect. It goes with the space portion really well versus if she just had like a long flowing, like, blonde wig or something, I would have found that a little boring. I like that. I'm like, I don't know. I like that. I like that it's an interesting in between color of like those purpley, blue and, green lights that are on the wings themselves. It kind of manifests itself into the wig. I wish with this particular outfit, if you're going to go through the trouble of having the lights on the bodysuit, that she had something on her boots. Just like a ring around the top or something like that would have been great. Lights up the side where they zip or something like that would have been cool. But other than that, I really like this. Is it my absolute favorite? No, but these wings are the best wings. And I say that, Courtney Act, you've been debunked. Like this is, these are now the best wings. I loved them so much. The way they moved, it made me feel things.
Yeah. I think Michelle's point about being able to see the emotion in it and the wing movement was a spot on, just lovely. And I agree. It is very much Final Fantasy. So, Final Fantasy always is in like this genre that I like to describe as sci-fant instead of sci-fi, like science fiction and fantasy mixed into one. To me, I just thought of like if you're a Sailor Moon fan, you are aware of like her very final form of Sailor Moon is called Eternal Sailor Moon. And it's like the most beautiful rendition of the transformation that she has. She just has these beautiful long wings, this beautiful like white sailor's gown. It is just like, oh man, my little gay boy heart was living for this shit today. Oh my God. I loved it.
Ugh, I'm telling you, these lights are just, yeah, it's all so stunning. And that's the thing, is that's why I want her in the top two. What shall be, shall be. But let's, okay, we got to talk about the lip sync. But first, I need Beth to look me in my optical sockets and tell me that this is a good wig. Look at me and tell me that.
It was a good wig. I didn't say it was a good wig. I said I liked the wig with the outfit.
What is this? What is this?
That is right there what you know parents had to cut their little kids' hair into during quarantine. That is what that is.
Literal bowl cut. You go around. I'll give credit for matching the robe.
The robe with the hair, a moment.
Yeah, it is a moment.
Again, I like the wig with the outfit. Not as a standalone. You're not going to catch me wearing that at the next RHAP Live.
I'm going to buy you one.
Honestly, if somebody buys me that, I will wear it for the next RHAP Live.
Our top two this week, Trinity and Jinx. And the lip sync is Kings and Queens, Ava Max. Not really Jinx's lip sync, but also not really Trinity's lip sync either. I don't necessarily feel like either one of them, knocked this one out of the park, especially because Jinx is giving berries and cream realness with her outfit of like pilgrim girl.
Yeah, that was quite the choice.
The best thing about that, apparently she ate it on the cartwheel. And so if you watch very closely, they go away and then they kind of come back when she's kind of like stood back up. And so that's why she says, apparently they also cut out what Monet said. Monet yelled something when they ended the lip sync. And that's why she went, why did I think I could do a cartwheel, a full corset? So
yeah, I thought that was
said that at Roscoe's this week. Where she said it without saying it. She was like, let's just say they cut away from the cartwheel for a reason. And then Bosco was there. Bosco goes, she eat it? She went, like that. So there was that. I also just don't like this song anymore, which is unfortunate because so many Trump supporters who were like white women took over this song for TikTok, like before the 2020 election. Oh, and I'm just kind of like, they're like, conservative women, while we're being discriminated against, you stand strong like the queens you are, and played the song behind it. I'm like, man, this was a great song and now you ruined it.
Yeah, sorry, I went back to look at the lip sync. They definitely cut away like before she finishes the lip sync.
Or the cartwheel,
I mean. Yeah, she makes it like about this far, maybe like...
Does she?
And then they cut it right there with her.
Clearly RuPaul's reaction to her falling
down.
Wait, and so Jinx won after that?
That tells you how bad Trinity did.
Which again makes me nervous for any type of lip sync Lollapalooza finale thing that we could have coming up. But yeah, Trinity also like gave her a blowjob at one point, and, which
yeah,
I was
that
like,
was kinda weird, yeah.
Can we stop eating each other's assholes on the runway? Like, I don't know. Call me old fashioned. I showed my parents or my dad. I was like, can you watch this lip sync? And it was Laganja versus Trinity for All Star 6 last year. And he's like, yeah, the one who's like really, he was talking about Laganja. He's like, yeah, like her moves are really great. But after the first couple of times, you just come to expect it. He's like, but wow, the way the other queen could just like really emote the song, like that's more powerful to me. And I was like, so the straight guy says go for emotion, just putting that out there. And I like tend to agree with him that that's what I like more often. But like sometimes we can just leave the ass eating and the splits and such at home and just get right into emoting.
The ass eating splits.
The ass eating splits.
It's a tough move to pull off, but when you can do it, you know.
You become very popular.
Right.
It's like rip your wig off while you go into a split and eat their ass.
And it's a wig reveal.
God. Well, Jinx ultimately wins for some reason, and it doesn't matter, right? So maybe she was gave it to her because of her performance in the roast, right? That's why she got it. But going into our final week, Jinx has 4 stars, the most out of any queen. Trinity and Jada both have 3 stars. Shay has 1 star and everyone else has 2. We don't know what's coming up in the finale, but I think we could really see things moved around quite a bit, potentially. Who knows? I have to imagine Jinx will for sure be there. Probably Trinity and Jada, maybe one, if not both. And then someone else is going to be joining them. Do you guys have any feelings about who you would want to see in the finale or who you think we're going to see in the finale?
I have a very specific top 4 that I would love to see in the final 4.
Okay,
who I don't think is going to be this 4. But this is the 4 based off of the performances throughout the entirety of the season. Mm-hmm. Whether or not I feel like they were honored with a win when they should have been or whatever. So I feel like the most consistently performing queens, the ones that maybe have shocked me the most or have done the most, are Jinx, the Vivian, Raja, and Jada. That would be the 4 that I would put up. And there's no way in hell that is the 4 that happens. I think only Jinx, maybe Jada, meets that role. I don't see Vivian and I don't see Raja going to the finals. It's hard to imagine Shay going at this point. But the edgic logic in me says Monet has got to be in the top.
Yeah, 4. Same. We've heard so much of Monet. And I will say, I saw for the RuPaul's Secret Special Celebrity Drag Race, the 3 queens that walk out are Brooklyn Heights. Crap, who's the other one? There's Jujubee. 3. Jujubee. Yes, Jujubee, because obviously Jujubee. And Monet. My, alarm bells started going off. I don't know. If I'm going to say who I think Monet is absolutely going to be there. Jinx probably as well. I don't know who the other two are, but those would be the top two that I'd be like, yes, for sure, we're going to see them in the finale. Also, we see so much of Monet in the confessionals, like so much of Monet. I got to imagine she's there. The person who I don't think is going to be there is going to be the Vivian, but I would love her so badly to be there. And I'm going to be devastated when she's not.
Yeah, I feel similarly. The ones that I would want, the ones that I feel like I've sort of had my own emotional investment in, or the ones that like change my minds about them. I want Jada to be in the end because I've turned around on her so much. The Vivian, I didn't really know much about her to begin with. So, but I loved watching her this season. Jinx is a give me. The last one I'm having a bit of an issue with. I don't really care to see Shay there now, unfortunately. I know, blasphemy, right? But, and of course, like a piece of me wants to say Evie should be there. And you know what? Maybe I could say, it's kind of between Evie and Monet for me because, I feel like Evie has just shown so much more of what she's capable of in terms of the runways this season. Maybe not so much the challenges, but I feel like she was strong in her original season as far as the challenges are concerned, that I feel like it wasn't as if there were many challenges this season that were kind of far out of the realm of something that she hasn't shown us before. So either Monet on any given day, Monet or Evie will take that last spot for me, but I ultimately believe it's going to be Jinx, obviously. I think it'll probably be Monet. Maybe the... I forgot about Trinity.
Jada and Trinity, maybe?
Yeah, Jada, Monet, Jinx, and Trinity.
Yeah, so I can see that.
It also just depends on what the twist or is. The is the twist right. for... Because, like... Or, like, if it's just one star... And there's no stealing and there's nothing. And it's just like a normal week. Then it's unless Jada, Trinity or Jinx win, then it's just whoever gets up to that three. You know what I mean? That's very clear.
Our shit is going to F shit up.
Right. And so then what I feel like it's going to be a steal a star thing. Do you think they just give like, hey, this week it's worth two stars or something like that?
Yeah, it could be because they're all so close, right? So maybe it's worth it to for them to do it that way.
I like that.
Maybe they give it to multiple people, like more than just two.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
I hate that even more.
Yeah. Well,
maybe only one queen wins next week or something like that, too.
Yeah, that could be. Well, we'll have to see. Before we close out, I have to cover something that happened in Nuntucked because I don't know if either of you watched, but they played Two Truths and a Lie. And Monet starting some drama as one of her two truths and a lie, which she says is the truth, is that she's hooked up with a girl on the cast. And Jada goes full investigative journalism inspired by our very own Ronan Farrow, who was the guest judge this week. And she is like on a mission to figure out who Monet slept with. We didn't get to see any conclusion to this. So that's another reason why I would like Monet and Jada in the final four. So we can see the story play out.
I tend to believe because Monet's. Yeah, that's a lie.
Okay, I think it's a lie too. But still.
Monet has in detail on Sibling Rivalry talked about the time that somebody stole money from her. Yeah. Okay. So or whatever that truth was that she said was the lie. I think that she was just doing it to get people going. And, you know, she's a quality entertainer who knows how to do that. So I think that's what that was.
If I had to guess who it would have been, it probably would have been Evie Audley. That's what my guess would have been.
It was really funny to see all of their faces look at each other and just everyone would go, it's Evie! And then all of a sudden they were like, but Raja's looking weird. It's Raja! Like, that was really fun.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Okay. That's it. We're done. That does it for us. Next week we're going to be covering Drag Race Gives Back. Variety Extravaganza? Why do I have that written down? Anyway, that's what I wrote, but it's going to be some type of talent show, which is kind of what they do usually at the beginning of All-Star seasons. Now we're doing it at the end, which is kind of cool, but that's how we're going to close out the season. So we'll be back next week. Let's do plugs and get out of here. Aman, where can people find you on social media? What do you have going on?
You can follow me everywhere at Amon Adwin. I will be over at RHAP this week doing some Big Brother coverage as per usual.
All right, Beth, what about you?
You can catch me on Hot Mess Moments with Dylan Zayner and myself. I've elected to save my mental sanity, and I will not be covering Big Brother for my weekly meltdown this summer, so I don't have to watch it. But normally you can catch me there when we're doing what we call our BS breakdowns and having a good time there. And then you can catch me online at AugustaWind11.
You can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. I got to do a morning update, which was really fun. So I'm happy to be back. And then also I'm going to be doing one this week, but as a programming note, I don't know if anybody knows this, but the Thursday eviction episode is going to be moved to Friday. So that mostly likely means that feeds are going to be down from Thursday into Friday. So the Saturday morning update is going to be a lot of fun. I'm also going to be on the aforementioned Claim to Fame podcast. Puya and I, Masked Singer celebrity Jonas Brothers show, for some reason on ABC. So we're going to be covering that with Jenny and Rob. You can leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes at robhaswebsite.com/dragrace. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre for all your help behind the scenes, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.